Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you all for tuning in to Simply the Word Ministries. And now, where I am, your host, Prophetess Krishna Oluwansa. It is a blessing as well as a privilege to be before you just one more time. As I always say, I never could have made it without the Lord being on my side. If it had not been for Him, where would I be? Amen. We're going to do 30 minutes of Power Hour. We're back on the air, praise God. And we're coming back stronger and more anointed than ever before. I thank you all for tuning in. We're going to go ahead and we're going to get started with the music ministry. We're going to bless you in song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to pray, and then we're going to go into some ministry. Amen. God bless.
Yes, Jesus. Come on, you can praise it. Come on, you can praise it. Hallelujah. And God, we, your people, are going to be obedient. As you decree, let everything that have breath give you the praise and give you the glory. Yes, God. We're so unworthy, Lord, but we stand in your presence. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. Very air we breathe. He gave it to us. We didn't buy it. Come on, tell me. Come on, lift your hands to him and tell him. It's your presence, Lord, your Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us, leading us and guiding us into all truth. Thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you for the gift. And not only that, when we talk about your word, it's my daily bread. It's what I long for. And God, you said, he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. This verse just says, your very word. Come on, tell him today. Come on, say spoken. This is the part that I love to declare. It says, it's, and now listen to these words. It says, I'm desperate for you. Is there anybody here you just don't want him, but you're desperate for him? You've got to have him. Sing it to him again. And now I'm Lord, put out to Jesus. Lord, I was lost, God, once in the world, but now that you changed me, I've got to have you. Come on, sing this with us again. This is the air I breathe. Come on, I want you to sing it with us. This is the air I breathe. And because you sent your Holy Spirit, Lord, thank you that it is. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, living in me as you are. It's living in me, hallelujah. I'm connected to you and you're connected to me. And I tell you today that this is my daily bread. Yes, it is. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is my daily bread. Yes, it is. Lord, it is the truth of your word that you've given us.
your hands and tell them, come on, tell them, I'm desperate for you, Jesus. Come on, if you're desperate for him, lift both hands to heaven and open your mouth in the air. Tell them together, and I. Have you there, Lord? Come on, sing it again. And I'm desperate for you. I need you, Lord. Every hour, I want you, Jesus. Just not do it.
And
tell him again. I'm lost without you. Nothing without him and you'd be lost. I want you to lift your hands right now and tell him this is the air I breathe. Breathe it in. Come on, he's given us the Ruah breath, the creative breath of God, as he did Adam in Genesis. He, oh, come on, just breathe in now. Breathe in the air that he's given. Out group, I want to hear the singing sanctuary. Come on, congregation. Come on, come on, sing it in this sanctuary. Come on, sing it. Yes, Lord. Come on, say it again.
Hallelujah. This is the air I breathe. Hallelujah. How many of us know that we're breathing just because God says, I'll blow breath into you on today? Amen. It was not because of our goodness. It was not because we're so great or because we did something so well. Because truth be told, we sin every day in our minds, in our hearts. We say things, we think things, we see things that causes things to come into our heart. And most of the time, we hold guilt there. Amen. We hold grudges there. But because of who he is, we are. God is yet still good. Hallelujah. And I can attest to that. I can really stand and say that God is yet still good. Anyhow, regardless of my situation, regardless to your circumstance, regardless to what you're going through or what you think is going on or what's going to happen, my God, it's because of the air that we breathe, he gives us another chance. The word of the Lord says that he gives us brand new mercies day by day. Amen. And it don't even take a whole day to give us brand new mercies. Just in within that day, he keeps allowing our moments to roll on just a little bit longer. Hallelujah. I'm just excited about what God is and who he is and what he's doing. Amen. I always say he don't have to do it. And I believe on it and I stand on it that God just really don't have to do it. Yes, I'm excited about who God is. Yes, I'm excited about what he's doing in my life. Because if you only knew my testimony within the last year, hallelujah, I'm getting ready to write a book and I'm getting ready to do some things and I'm putting it all in there. God has prompted me to write this book, amen, of all the things that I've went through. Amen. What I should have been was dead and gone. What I should have been was in the crazy house. What I should have been was sitting on somebody's corner depressed, begging, not knowing where I am and what the next day or the next minute is going to bring. But how many of us can test to say, but God, hallelujah, amen. I know the last time that I was on the air, you know, I told everybody that I had just buried my father. I hadn't been back on the air, but 5 months after burying my father, I buried my mother. Hallelujah. Even in the midst of all of that was going on, even before I buried my mother, I thought I would have had to bury my daughter and my brand new grandbaby. But God, hallelujah. So every time I get a chance to breathe in the air, I think about the brand new mercies and the brand new grace that God keeps giving me day after day, minute after minute, second after second. He didn't have to do it. Hallelujah. And when I just think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, hallelujah, I know most of us can't really attest. It seems like it's cliche because so many people have that same testimony. But as I begin to work hospice, and I'm a hospice nurse, as I begin to work hospice, I begin to sit back and think about people waiting to die. God began to prompt me and how I have to deal with family, not just only as a nurse, but on the humanity side of it. Even in my calling as a minister, as a pastor, as a prophetess, amen. And as I began to walk into the rooms of these people and I began to look down at them and their family members, I couldn't help but reflect on who God is and where he brought me from. Amen. I buried both of my parents. Amen. You might as well say at the same time, even though that they were 5 months apart, but God began to deal with me on that number five as being great. For his grace is sufficient. Amen. Even when we think that we're not, his grace. Hallelujah. And I just bless God on tonight. Yes, I done got ahead of myself, but I'm going to let the Spirit lead me how the Spirit choose to go. Amen. But as I begin to go through work and I begin to walk through the unit and working in hospice, hospice is not an easy place to be when you're watching people lose their breath and take their last breath. It's not an easy place that when you have to deal with the families that are crying and don't know what to do and when they're in confusion and when they're at each other's throats. Amen. You have to be in ministry to be able to deal with the hospice patient and to deal with the care of not only just the patients but the family. And not only do you have to deal with the family, but I got to deal with the staff. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. But God is just doing this thing. Amen. The last time that I ministered on air, I was in Chicago. I no longer reside there. Praise God. I am here in San Antonio, Texas. And I bless God for what he is doing and how he's doing it. I have no control over it. All I can do is just say yes. Amen. All I can do is just say yes, because that's all God wants is a yes. So many times we say, I'll say what he wants me to say, and I'll go where he wants me to go, and I'll do what he wants me to do. But then the minute that God tells you to move out of your comfort zone, hallelujah, we begin to renege on what the promises of God is and how we promise God that we'll say and do all of these things that he tells us to do. But I'm not scared of change, hallelujah, because I figure like this. My mother used to say all the time, what don't harm you or hurt you will never kill you. It'll only make you stronger. And I'm a firm believer that I have no family here. My children are not here. Amen. I have no friends here. I'm in a whole nother state, in a whole nother city. And God is isolating me for a reason. Amen. The prophecy went forth that I will be here some years ago, and I begged to differ. I told the person that gave me the prophecy, I told everyone that gave me the prophecy, because it came in threes, that I would not go to Texas because me and Texas don't get along. Hallelujah. But I promise God that when you told me to do what I needed to do, I'll do it.
I won't rebel against him because I have that testimony too. But amen, we're going to read from the book of Isaiah tonight. I just want to go in there for a little bit. We're going to read from Isaiah 55. And it says, "Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a ruler and a commander of the people. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you." Hallelujah. "Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And the word of the Lord is already blessed. Really, that's enough right there. Amen. As I begin to come here and I begin to move here in Texas, in San Antonio, I begin to question the Lord, why? Why me? Why me? Why did I go through all that I went through? Why did all these things happen to me? And why did it all happen all at the same time? I didn't get a break. Amen. For about a year or so, I had been, like, really, really bogged down. But last year in August, like the first week of August, God had begun to show me a dream. Actually, he showed me a dream. And in this dream, you all may have heard me say this, but I never really gave the full testimony of it. In this dream, God showed me that I was on my way coming from Mississippi. I was traveling. I went to go and visit my sons and spend a little time with them and, you know, begin to minister to them and, you know, do some things there in Mississippi where they are. And before I got ready to come back, God had given me a vision. And in this vision, my daughter and myself, we were driving on our way back to Chicago, and a bomb went off under my truck. As the bomb went off under my truck, we began to roll, we began to go every which way, but in this dream, God showed me that me and my daughter was going to walk out of this truck of mine untouched, unharmed. Well, how many of you all know that Satan will quickly plant fear in you? So I jumped up and I began to pray and I started crying, and my daughter was laying beside me. And at this point, she was pregnant with her child. And I jumped up and I began to cry and I began to get on my knees and say, "God, what is going on? Really, what is really, really going on?" I didn't understand it. So I was fearful about driving from Mississippi back to Chicago. I was just fearful because I'm like, "Okay, God, are you trying to tell me that something is going to happen on my way going back?" I didn't understand the dream, but however, God began to get me to a point where I've become silent on the road coming back. And as I began to leave and I began to travel and hit the road, I began to pray. And while I was in the midst of on the road of praying and in the midst of this silence, God began to speak to me. He said, "The bomb that went under your truck was not a physical bomb, but it was a spiritual bomb." And he says, "But what I want you to understand is that even in the spirit of the atmosphere of this spirit, this bomb going off," he said, "your life is going to become very, very chaotic." And I said, "God, really?" So I began to pray, and I was like, "No, you know, maybe I got the wrong prophecy. Maybe this just wasn't for me. Maybe this was just the enemy." And so I began to question God. And this scripture came to mind saying, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And I know to be forewarned is to be foretold." So in the midst, I'm still praying about what's going on. Had no idea that all of these things was about to be let loose in my life. The devil had a plan for me. The devil really had a plan for me. And I'm going to sum it all up because I don't have enough time to tell it all, but the devil really had a plan for me. He had an end for me. Let me tell you something. My daughter was delivering September 6th. She went a code blue. We have been praying over this baby and praying over this baby and praying over this baby, that this baby was coming from the womb, that this was the prophet, this was the game changer that God had sent for such a time as this. In the midst of my daughter giving birth, she coded. In the midst of her coding, they called me from the hospital, and my father coded at the same time. It was a struggle. The enemy really was trying to kill everything that had any type of connections to me, any type of connections. In the midst of all of this that was going on, my husband got up and he left. Amen. He got up and he left. I had no clue what was going on. The enemy really was trying to send me crazy. The enemy really was playing with my mind. And in the midst of everything that was going on, the fact that I'm looking at burying my father, not knowing if my daughter and my grandbaby was going to make it, not knowing that the man that I call my husband, the one that I love, the one who I said I do to and took marriage vows to, jumped up and left all in the midst of everything that was going on. Well, I had to try to prioritize. I remember sitting in the hospital floor, and I just fell to the floor, and I began to cry out and say, God, why me? And a small spirit whispered and said, why not you? If you trust me, you told me that you trust me, and if you say that you trust me, why can't you trust me on this? You pray, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding, but you still won't even acknowledge me in your way. And he brought this same scripture back to me, Isaiah. For my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. You can't say that you trust me and partially walk with me, but yet turn around and run when the road gets rough. I did. I wanted to run. I wanted to go back. I thought about the enemy was calling, said, yep, where's your God now that everything is going on? Where is your God now? I buried my father in 4 days. The day before I got ready to bury my father, my mother was unresponsive. They couldn't get her to come back. And I fell. I remember coming to the hospital. They called me. I remember because I have asthma. I remember my asthma flaring up. I remember my kids just sitting and crying, saying, Lord, what now, what now? I remember my 4 children just being surrounded around me, and they begin to pray. See, this is what it means when the word says, train up a child in the way he or she should go. So when they're old, not that they won't depart from what the church or the physical atmosphere, the training that you've instilled in them won't depart. And I can remember my 4 children getting behind me and my baby girl at this point leading prayer. What a God we serve. And they just sat there and they began to cry. And this is the first time that I literally seen my kids actually come together and begin to pray over their mother. I got to the hospital. As I got to the hospital, I began to walk in to the emergency room. But when I walked in, I kept telling God, I trust you. I understand, God, exactly what you said. You told me, God, to just stand. When I've done all that I can do to just stand, God, you told me that put on the whole armor of you, and I did. I did just that, God. Why is it that I'm still getting hit with fiery dots, and why am I still getting hit with the trickery and things of the enemy? I remember walking in the emergency room. My mother still not coming to. The Spirit just told me to walk in and begin to sing, and I began to sing and I began to minister. And as I began to walk to my mother's room, the whole emergency room began to shut down. I heard nothing but just a machine. As I got to my mother's room and began to pray, I walked back out, and I said, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know if I'm going to make it through this, but right now, God, I need you to send the angels to carry me because I can't carry myself. I can't carry myself through anything that's going on. I have a daughter that's fresh out the hospital that's trying to hold on with me. I have a mother that's sitting here the day before I get ready to bury my father. I'm not even sure what's going on. I have a father that's gone. I got a husband that's been left and walked out. God, why is my life so chaotic? Why is all of this going on? How many of you all know that God will shake up some stuff in your life to put everything back in place? He will shake it up to put everything back in place, everything that's not like him. everything that has nothing to do with him. God will make your life so chaotic that he will put everything that's in it out to give you something new. And as I began to pray and as I began to minister on the next day and do the eulogy of my father, God said, I'm going to move you because all things need to be made new. And the scripture come back to me says that when you're in me, everything is made new. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Hallelujah. And I just bless God for everything that he did because he kept telling me, you got to move forward. You got to press because I was giving up. And I come to encourage somebody on tonight. I was giving up. I did not want this walk. I told God, you know what, if it take all of this, God, and you got to start taking everybody around me that I love and everything that I have. God cleared my whole life within the 5 months span. He cleared it. Why? Because he wanted it just with me in him. I had put so much time in with my kids, with my husband, with my family, with my parents, taking care of them, going back and forth, going, trying to work, doing this and doing this. My life was so chaotic. God shook up some stuff. And I come to encourage you on tonight that when God begins to shake your tree and say out everything that's not like him, don't hold on to it because our ways are not his way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He knows best. He knows exactly what's best for you and I. Amen. He knows exactly what he's doing. People often ask me and say, well, your husband coming back, this, that, the other. I had told God, you know what, I'm not going to worry about that. I'll file for divorce. I can't. How do you call me to a new state, a new city, and still holding on to something new? God says, I got this. I got this. I've seen the enemy coming, but I yet still couldn't do anything about it because I was so boggled with everything else that was going on. With everything else was going on, I had no control over my life, and the enemy really tried to kill me, y'all. He really tried to kill me. I had suicidal thoughts. I sat at the lake. I lived on the lake in Chicago. I sat at the lake, and I can remember sitting in my truck, and I had thoughts. I'm going to run this truck right into this water. Why not? Everybody else wind up in the lake. They've been pulling trucks and cars out the lake. I need to do it. This is what the enemy was telling me. But then I heard the Spirit say, greater, greater is he that's on the inside of you. I need you to begin to speak to yourself. I need you to begin to pat yourself on the back. I need you to begin to encourage yourself and tell yourself that your time is not now, but yet in his time. Everything happens in God's time. And I can remember sitting there, and I can remember preaching and carrying on at my mother's funeral and preaching at my father's funeral and telling people bits and pieces of the testimony and how I wasn't even supposed to be standing. But God, because his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Not all the time do we understand what he's putting us through. Not all the time do we understand why we got to go through what we're going through. But because his ways are not our ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts, we got to realize that he knows what's best for us. Amen. I'm going to come back on the air, hopefully Sunday night. I'm trying to get it fixed where I got a complete time of coming on. But I thank you all for tuning into Simply the Word Ministry. I pray that you all have gotten something out of this. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for covering us. God, we thank you for keeping us. Now, as we begin to leave from your presence, this air, but never from your presence, I ask that you put your arms of protection around everyone under the sound of my voice. I bind the spirit of retaliation and backlash, oh God, that every seed that has been planted from this ministry will go forth and it will grow. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. You all go and be blessed. Hallelujah. Whether you're
bless you. We sing to you. Hallelujah.
Father, you are.